way. But it is so nice to be able to. We got to see a lot of faces. We were waving from the living room and on the big screen there and waving everybody, but nobody waved back. I don't understand. But it was definitely wonderful and exciting. So I appreciate all the men who filled in. Rob, homesick today, and appreciate the job that he did, and Steve and David filling in. And I'm sorry I had to miss the second men's prayer breakfast, but we're having another one coming up in April, right? Another one coming up in April, and so on. So if you haven't been to one, you need to come to one. We had a good time the first time and a better time the second time, and we're going to have even a gooder time on the third. All right, we're going to have a gooder term. Daniel chapter 6, if you will. We've been kind of hop-skipping through the book of Daniel in a way that, just kind of touching some highlights and lifting out some things for us here tonight. But we do want to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Brown here. Mr. Brown is no longer in the Army, but Mrs. Brown is in the Army. At this particular point in time, so great to have you folks here with us here tonight. And the little one with the little red bow, and cutie in the nursery in there. So, but if you get to meet them here, I know some folks were very open and greeting them and getting to know them. So you do so before they leave here today, amen. Before they leave here tonight, let them know that we love having visitors and we love having people coming back a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. And about the fourth time there, you're one of the family, amen. Actually, it only takes a second time you're part of the family here, for the most part. But our key verse in Daniel chapter 6 is verse 3 tonight. Verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." See where a smile will get you? What a good attitude will do for you. You know, there's something to be said about attitudes. A negative attitude is self-defeating. And for the self-centered, it is self-deprecating. A positive attitude on the other side is the realization that we can meet any challenge, rise to any occasion when we are in a right relationship with the Lord our God. And besides this, when the latter is true in our lives, then God is ready to promote such individuals. And I would much rather have God promote me than man promote me. So it's as much about our attitudes in our circumstances as it is the nature of our trust in Christ that brought Daniel to this place. Now, Daniel will have had several rulers over his over him in his lifetime. And in our text, Daniel is somewhere around 80 to 82 years of age. And we see he is still actively involved serving the Lord. Now, he was about 15 years of age when he was taken into captivity. And at the age of 15, we know from Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 that he had determined that he would put his life in the hands of the Lord, his God, come what may. And the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. He literally took his life and his future, and said, "God, I am putting it all into your hands. You do with me as you see fit." And so he remained true to the faith and possessed an excellent spirit throughout his 65 years of captivity and several different rulers that he served under. So God loves the presence of an excellent spirit. How many of you are bothered by someone who has an excellent spirit? Aren't you sometimes bothered by those who are so optimistic? I mean, you're just looking to have a real good pity party. And you're all down in the mouth, and you're really pessimistic, and someone comes along like an Odie, they're bouncing around, doing their little thing out there. And it just drives you nuts. How can you be so happy when all the world's falling down around us? He said, "Because I got the Lord as my Savior," and so on. Yeah, that goes. But God loves the presence of an excellent spirit in the lives of his children. And it is our circumstances as well that will determine the nature and the character of our spirit. And so when God brings those things into our lives, he is helping us to cultivate and to develop an excellent spirit. But you know, the character and the nature of our walk with God is that which will determine the character of our spirit. If you're not walking with God, you're not walking in faith, you're not walking trusting God come what may, then you know what? You're not going to have an excellent spirit. Listen, as long as everything is going well and we're on that mountaintop rejoicing and leaping and jumping and everybody looks up and we're just so excited, and then all of a sudden comes that little slide down into the valley and we get all down on God and we get all down on our lives, and you know, it's like everything changes. You know, Daniel had an excellent spirit when he was in the mountaintop. Daniel had an excellent spirit when he was in the valley. Daniel had an excellent spirit when everything was going his way, as well as when he was in the lion's den. And it's interesting that even Darius, as well as Nebuchadnezzar, and as well as did Belshazzar, a little too late for Belshazzar, for the most part, but he realized that, these men realized that there was something uniquely different about Daniel. More than any of the other princes that they had, there was something unique. And I believe that wherever the child of God goes, there ought to be someone who perceives that there is something uniquely different, refreshingly different. So, as we come to this chapter in the historical record of Daniel, and Daniel again finds himself in a life-threatening circumstance, you have to wonder if he may have thought to himself, he said, you know, Lord, that's okay when I was 15. Lord, that was okay when I was in my 20s and in my 30s. And Lord, it wasn't too bad when I was in my 40s or in my 50s. But Lord, I'm 82 now. Do I really have to go through this kind of circumstances at my age? Now, the Bible doesn't say that Daniel thought those thoughts. But I know my heart, and that's probably what I would have thought. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm 70. why am I going through some of these things that I'm going through here? And he says, because you need it. I said, okay, that takes care of it, settles it. But, you know, the Lord knows our heart. He never indicates that you and I have reached that place of questioning God concerning life's turn of events. And folks, Daniel's life lived with, his life was lived with and for the Lord. It should be a life that's an inspiration to all of us. To the young, for them to see that when you make the right choices about God's place in your life as a young man or as a young woman, God will take you further than you could possibly have gone if you chose to do it differently. I'll promise you, young people, you put God, you put Christ in the place in your life that Daniel did, and God will promote you in his time. To the middle agers, life can be tough, seemingly impossible at times. Don't let the circumstances of life determine your walk with God. Let your walk with God determine how you together with the Lord handle your circumstances. Altogether, too many times as a pastor, I have seen where circumstances have changed how people perceive, how people walk, how people worship the Lord in a very negative sense. They get all down on God. They get all down on Bible principles and Bible precepts. And yet, if we allow our heart to determine how we handle those circumstances, it will go differently for us. So, this for us older folk, don't ever assume that God is done. Amen. I know there was times when the wife and I, you know, I can remember back in Bible college when I was down in Louisville, working in Louisville, Kentucky, and living in pastoring Grace Baptist Church out there, just outside of Fort Knox, by the way. Have you ever been to Fort Knox? Yeah, we had a church right out there, Grace Baptist Church. I don't think it's there anymore, but we're out on South Boundary Road. And boy, when those tanks came by, they wouldn't come by just one tank at a time. They'd come by like two, three, four tanks there, and everybody would be shaking and rumbling and rolling. You just had to stop preaching, whatever you're doing at that particular point, when it was down that way. But when we're down there, I kind of thinking, you know, boy, I can't wait to 65 so I can retire and sit back and go fish and do all those wonderful things. And you know, the interesting thing that is, over the longer term that we have served the Lord, we said, why would we retire from serving the Lord? And I heard of a lot of preachers. Now, they may have to for health reasons, I understand that. But when a pastor's in somewhat good health, why would you want to retire from the Lord? From this service. Now, you may not be able to handle a church actively, but there's a lot of things that you can do. Pulpit fills and pulpit supplies, a lot of things like that. Listen, you know, people, my brother says, have you ever really given any thought to retirement? And I said, it's only been a thought, but beyond that, we have no desire, neither the wife or I. Even Peg was saying, she said, it'd be nice to retire. And listen, we have heaven to retire. Amen. We'll have all of eternity. We'll be able to catch some of the biggest fish we have ever possibly imagined when it comes right down to it. So don't ever assume that we reach that point where we're too old to serve the Lord. Daniel's about 80, maybe 82, as he faces the lions in the den, and Daniel remained true to the Lord. Now, this historical record has been preserved for your encouragement, my encouragement, for our faith, for our confidence in God that He does not leave us, nor does He forsake us, nor has He ever done or finished with us. And so we begin with the trap in chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, and we're not going to be able to get through all of it tonight, simply because it wouldn't be enough time to really finish up the multiple parts of it. But we read there in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, we have a trap that is going to be set by these jealous 120 some princes, as well as the other two that were above with Daniel, the 120. But you know, let me tell you something. Jealousy is a very destructive emotional force that, when exercised and unchecked, it will ruin marriages, it will ruin friendships, and it will destroy opportunities to be used by God. It is an emotion that pits itself in the center of every relationship and makes them all about the individual. It's an emotion that, if it doesn't ruin a relationship, it has the potential for all sorts of evil, even as far as murder. Cain was jealous of his brother Abel because Abel brought an appropriate sacrifice to God. And God accepted Abel's, but He did not accept Cain's, because Cain's was a prideful, self-centered sacrifice that was not a blood offering. And so God rejected it. So it's an emotion that if it doesn't ruin a relationship, then it has the potential for all manner of evil. Solomon states in the book of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6, he said, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Boy, jealousy is a horrible, terrible, ugly emotion, if you will. So here's Daniel, a man with an excellent spirit, such a spirit that it pleases King Darius to set up 120 princes over his whole realm. Then over that whole realm of 120 presidents, he sets up three, and out of the three, Daniel is preferred above them all. Now, the 120 princes were to give account to these three, and it obviously upset them that Daniel was one of those to whom they were to give an account. Talk about being disgruntled. So in verse 3, we see that the king was so impressed with Daniel's spirit that he wanted to make Daniel head over the other two. But he says here in verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So we see that having an excellent spirit, it goes a long way, even among the unsaved. Now, that excellent spirit wasn't simply, as I said here, that this was not about waking up grumpy in the morning and then pasting on a smile on one's face. That's not an excellent spirit. It's charades is what it really is. You know what? We need to go to bed with an excellent spirit. And I think you'll have a better night's sleep if you do go to bed with an excellent spirit. Amen. You won't be troubled and tossing and turning all night long. And you'll wake up with an excellent spirit, and you ought to be able to walk through the day with an excellent spirit. If you realize that God is walking with you, and what you're doing is serving the Lord throughout that day, and rather than looking at difficulties in your day as unnecessary obstacles, say, Lord, You brought this into my life because there is something You are trying to either teach me, or that I can use this to be able to share your faith, my faith with you, and to be able to share with us how great You really are. And so this kind of excellent spirit is not something you and I can just paste on our faces. It comes from deep within the heart. It comes from deep within the soul of one who lives their life for God and for God's pleasure. Most of us, we live our life for our own pleasure. But have you really thought about saying, Lord, I want to live my life for your pleasure. I want to live my life to please you in every aspect. I want my marriage and I want my home. I want it to be lived for your pleasure, Lord. Lord, this is not about me. It's all about you. Listen, there's going to come a day when the Lord is going to make it all about you. When you stand before him and you have made this life all about him, and you stand before him and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, he's going to make it about you. So, they obviously, these 120 plus two, assembled to plot how to get Daniel, to get rid of Daniel. And I find it really very, very exciting that all these men could not find for the life of them, they couldn't find a single noteworthy fault in this Daniel's life. Verses 4 and 5, it says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Man, I wish that could be said of me. I can look back over the history of my life and boy, there's a lot of faults back there. But you see, there's a difference when you purpose, and I didn't purpose as a young man. When I was in the Air Force, I didn't purpose for the Lord. Now, in the early stages of my marriage, we didn't purpose for the Lord. And it wasn't until God brought us to our knees some years later that we began to repurpose our lives, to reorder our lives for the Lord. And I wouldn't go back to that life prior to that for all the tea and gin and all the money in the world. Just not worth it. But since we ordered our life to purpose our lives for the Lord, God has been a blessing beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. What a blessing the Lord is. So, you know, it's a shame, though, that another believer's success and blessings that come from God cause other believers to be envious and jealous. And I've seen that happen so often. Jealous of marriages, jealous of homes, jealous of cars, jealous of jobs, jealous. Now, I know these princes were more likely not saved, but I do find other believers jealous of other believers, and rather than being jealous, meet with them and discover why they have found such favor with the Lord. That seems like the intelligent thing to me. Rather than sit back there and chide and find fault with these individuals, wouldn't it be smart to just say, hey, listen, God's really been blessing you, and I kind of been missing some of those blessings. I'd like to get in on that. Could you kind of help me along the way here? Sure. And be able to sit down and with humility and humbleness and say, this is why God's working in my life this way. And of course, these princes didn't do that. They would rather eliminate Daniel than learn from him. And such is the evilness of the human heart, where God is not in control of that heart. So Daniel is enemy number one. The plot is set in which they intend to use Daniel's consistent prayer life of 65 years or more of his life. 65 years, 7 days a week, going to his house, opening the window towards Jerusalem, on his knees, praying to the Lord. That's what they found as a weak link in that man's life. It really wasn't a weak link. They thought it was, because they were going to come up with a plan, a plot, which I'm sure most of us know. And that was, they were going to go to King Darius and say, King Darius, you're such a, I mean, you talk about flattery. Watch out for flattery. People contend without even knowing it. To give you such a big head, you may not even be able to get out the door. You know, sometimes they get real big like that. But they said, listen, why don't you pass a petition that no one in your realm can ask any petition of any king, any ruler, or any god except for you for the next 30 days. Well, they knew that Daniel would go and do exactly what Daniel did. They knew that as soon as that decree was signed, that Daniel would head right for his home, not to be obstinate, not to be arrogant, because that was not in his nature. But when it was time for him to go to the noon prayer time, or when it was time for him to go to the evening prayer time, he went to his house, he opened the door towards Jerusalem, and he prayed to the Lord, as he had done aforetime. Which brings us to the trap is sprung in verses 10 through 17. We won't look at all of them. But in verse 15 it says, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, there's no question mark there. So I don't believe he was asking a question. I believe he was making a statement through his observation of Daniel's life and Daniel's walk with God. Moms and dads, do your children know how you're going to act or react in a given situation or situation or circumstance? Do they know the character of integrity and honesty that exists in your life? And they would say, listen, I know exactly how my mom and dad would respond. Moms and dads, do we know how our children would respond given certain circumstances? So, how does Daniel respond? Not in arrogance, not with any fanfare or hoopla, but quietly, not secretly, but he goes into his home as he has always done, and he prays as always, as was the way of faithful Jews, Hebrews, three times a day. And of course, Daniel is caught because his responsibility to God was more important than the laws of man, meant to keep the people of God from exercising their faith in God. In Acts chapter 5, and we can turn there, in the book of Acts chapter 5, the Christ, the Lord has ascended. He has accomplished his mission. He has gone to the cross. He has shed his blood, and he has, after 40 days, he has been, he has ascended to heaven and commissioned the disciples to go out and to preach the gospel. And in Acts chapter 5, we see where Peter and some of the disciples had gone out and they were boldly witnessing. But you know, they also indicted the religious leaders who were refusing to take the blame for seeing to it that he was crucified. So we pick it up in Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. Peter and them had been beaten. And they went out and from the council and they had just gone on preaching the gospel. And they caught up with him and said, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Well, duh. I mean, who was it? Talk about denial. But he says in verse 30, verse 29 rather, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. I would much rather be secure in my walk, in my relationship with the Lord, by doing the thing that's right, than to try to secure my relationship with men or to keep my job when someone's asked me to do something that's unconscionable or something that's wrong. Because I know that if I will stand for the Lord and do the thing that is right, even if it costs me my job, God's going to take care of me. It may not be immediately, but I'll guarantee you, in all the years that been alive and all the years we've been married, things have been lean from time to time, but do I look like I starved to death? I may look a little bit unnourished from time to time, but that's more the diabetes than it is anything else. But Peter recognized the importance of obedience to God's commands. Listen, in Canada, for a preacher to preach against the sinful practice of homosexuality. We don't preach against homosexuals. God's son died for them the same as he died for you and me. He wants to save them the same way as he saved you and me. But in Canada, to preach against the practice of homosexuality, it would cost you jail term. And there were preachers who stood in their pulpits and preached the word of God regardless of the cost. And it may be coming to America sooner than we think. And it drives me nuts to think that many of us have served in the military to preserve the Constitution and the liberties that we have, to see them all torn down by a bunch of liberal. I'm going to stop there before I say something unkind. But you know what I'm talking about. And so he recognized that it's more important that we obey God than to obey men. We also see quite a bit of arrogance. I believe in quite a bit of pride in King Darius as he embraced the whole idea of being the provider and the go-to man for any and all petitions. These vile and wicked men played to the weakness of the sinful heart of Darius and suggested that he be higher than all the gods, even God Jehovah. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, as we kind of look back a few books. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. When thou goest, go back to verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall walk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law, that is the word of God, is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Learning how to walk in a sinful world in a manner that pleases God. But verse 24 says, to keep thee from the evil woman and the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Obviously, the king didn't think this thing through. And I'll be honest with you, some of the dumb mistakes I made in my life, because I didn't think things through. It wasn't one of my fortes as a young man. Since then, by the grace of God, I think I've learned to think a few things through before it's too late. But this king didn't think these things through, and because of flattering tongues, he got caught up in his own importance, his own significance. Listen, God can replace any one of us. God can replace me in a heartbeat. We've learned that over the last 2 weeks. There are men in this church who are willing and ready to take this pulpit. Not too aggressively, guys, okay? Give me a break. But you get the point is that we've got men, capable men right here in this church. So as a child of God, never ever think that you have reached that place where you're so important to God that God just can't live without you or God can't do without you. He can in a heartbeat. Amen? So he signs the decree, and the one that he appreciated the most, the one that he trusted the most, is caught in the web of deceitfulness and the web of self-importance of the king. Now, let's ask God to develop in our heart an excellent spirit. Folks, those who walk with the Lord would never be deceitful. There are deceitful believers, but I'm talking about those who really walk close with the Lord. They would never be deceitful. Nor would such be caught up in self-importance and put God on the back burner. So let's you and I this evening in this part one of Daniel the Lion's Den, let's ask God to develop in our hearts an excellent spirit. All he is waiting for is for you to come to that place in your life where you say, Lord, I want the spirit that Daniel had. Now, you don't have to tell the Lord, say, I want to go through everything that Daniel went through. But you say, Lord, develop within me an excellent spirit, a sweet spirit that exudes wisdom above all around us. To use the knowledge that he imparts to you and I through his word to be a blessing to others. If you want to work, if you want God to work with you, you and I are going to have to work with him. Amen. We kind of want to grab a chair up and sit down over here, maybe someplace, and we say, you know what, Lord, I want you to do this to me, and I'm waiting for you to just dump it a whole truckload of this stuff on me. That isn't how it works. That is not how it works. God, through his word, said these are the provisions and you need to embrace them and you need to live them. Or as James says, be not hearers only, but be also doers. Doers. If my people who are called by my name will humble them. You see, we have a responsibility, a part in the process that if we want to have an excellent spirit and we want to be a wonderful help, hand of the Lord in the lives of others, we're going to let him work in our lives. And he's going to have to weed some things out. He's going to have to strengthen some things that we've kind of let slip over the years. that God is, I believe that God is waiting to hear. And I don't believe there's any sweeter music to his ears than, Lord, I want you to develop an excellent spirit within me. And then put the seatbelt on, because God's going to take you for a ride. Because it doesn't come natural. Even though we're sinners saved by grace, it does not come natural. And so God's going to have to run us through some paces to get us to that point. So if you and I want God to work with us, you and I are going to have to work with God. And next week, we're going to actually look at Daniel in the den and the outcome. Most of us know that, but I want us to see some significant things and to make some conclusions that we can apply to our own lives. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can be together. And Lord, how precious is your word tonight. Lord, what an inspiration this man, Daniel, is. Lord, we can go through many books in the Bible, reading them from verse 1 to the last verse of the book. And Lord, in this book, we cannot find one condemnation of this man, Daniel. Lord, I know that he was a man of flesh and blood, just like any one of us here tonight. But Lord, if Daniel could live that kind of a life where, Lord, you didn't even reproach the man, or even those who were his contemporaries couldn't find any fault in this man's life, well, Lord, would it be that our neighbors and family members and co-workers could find no fault in us? But Lord, it takes dedication. It takes a focus every moment of every hour, of every day, to remind ourselves that we are the Lord's and we are to live for him. And even when difficulties arise, the devil throws up barriers in whatever form they may be. Lord, may we see them as a challenge that we can overcome, because you are developing that excellent spirit. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, and I'm wondering, as a child of God tonight, do you possess an excellent spirit? I want you to think of your own life and ask yourself, who can find fault? If I were to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and go to someone with the gospel and tell them about how Jesus Christ died for them and shed his blood for them, and that they can become a child of God, that they would look at me and said, why don't you live what you preach? Because they've been able to find fault. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? I want to have that excellent spirit. And it's a big commitment, folks. It's just not a simple matter of raising the hand. It's a huge, huge commitment. But I'll guarantee you this, it's a worthwhile. Oh, man, it's a road that will... Can't even begin to. The challenges will be great, but the blessings even greater. Lord, by your grace, if you could do this in the heart of Daniel, you can do it in my heart. And Lord, I'm up for the game. Preacher, pray for me in closing. How about some of our young people that you would pray? Even as a young man, a sophomore, a junior, a senior, college student here tonight. And you say, Pastor, if Daniel could make that, and look where God led this man. Don't focus on the difficulties that Daniel had to face. But every one of them, because of his excellent spirit, he faced them with strength and with rigor and with zeal. And God blessed him beyond anything he could possibly have ever imagined. But don't just look into the blessings of what God might do in this lifetime. It's when you stand before him one day and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How about you young people tonight? Pray for me, preacher. Pray for your pastor, that he will always have an excellent spirit. No, I'm not just talking about being an optimist. I'm talking about having an excellent spirit. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, we thank you for the hands that were raised tonight. And Father, we pray that you will guide and direct. Lord, whether it's to salvation, or Lord, whether it's to rededication of our lives. Lord, in this life, in this world, in this day and age, those who ought to have the most excellent spirit, faultless spirits, are your children who have been saved by grace. Lord, may that be the beginning point tonight of a real change of our hearts. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for the work that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.